Tapa Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. This is a Mishnah reads Nazir Shigileach Venodolo Shuhutame. Nazir who cuts his hair, I think that's the end of his Nazirut, and he's taking his hair again. Venodolo Shuhutame. And then he finds out that he is Tame. So after he's doing his Giluach, he finds out that he is Tame. Im tuma yidua. Exactly what the Mishnah wants to pass. Im tuma yidua soter. If it's tuma that was known, this is as opposed to not known, which would be tuma tahom. We're going to see that's the discussion of today's Gemara about the difference between tuma tahom and tuma yidua. Soter. Vim tuma tahom, eno soter. And if it's tuma tahom, which is unknown tuma, tuma that's not known to anybody in the world, then it's not soter. Now, im achigdo gileach, right? If this all happened before he took his haircut, benkach u benkach soter. Doesn't matter what type of tumah it is, then it undermines the nizirut. Ketzad, what's the case? Yarot litbo b'ma'ara. He went to a cave to go to the mikvah. Benimsa meit tzach apia ma'ara. Then he finds a mate, or gazayis min a mate, floating at the entranceway to the Ma'ara, Tameh, then he is Tameh. Nimsa Meshuka B'Karka, but if they found the maid, B'Karka Ma'ara, found the maid somehow depressed under the floor of the cave, so then it'll make a difference. Yara the Haker, if he went down to cool himself off, Tahor, right, then he is Tahor. Lita Hermi Tumat Tameh, but if he went to get himself Tahor from being Tameh, then Tameh, then he remains Tameh, Shekhazka Tameh Tameh. Chazaka of a Tameh is to be Tameh, Chazaka Tahor, Tahor. And the Chazaka of someone who's already Tahor is to remain Tahor, Shurik Laim the Tavar, because we have evidence, or we say, Hemed Adam of Chazkato. Leave the person in the Chazaka on the status they are.
And
Mishnah is very confusing. Right, it's not clear from the Mishnah what's this modifying or what's going on. The Gemara will discuss it. That's why I'm somewhat moving through it. I will point out here that there is a machlokes in the Farish and the Russian Tosfos about did he bring his karbanoter yet? So over here, the distinction was whether he cut his hair or not cutting his hair. In Achilo Gileach, if he finds out about Tuma before he did his haircut, he loses, whether it's Tuma to home or regular Tuma, he loses in the Zirut. If it's Achar Giluach, if it's after he already cut his hair, then we differentiate between Tuma Tahom and Tuma Yidua. Did he bring his Karbanot or not? That's the question here. Tosfos and the Rosh say, yeah, of course he brought his Karbanot here. Because right? If he didn't bring his Karbanot, then what's there to talk about? We're going to see in the Gemara. The Gemara establishes, we had a machlokas earlier in the Masechta between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim, what's Ma'akev, the Nazir, to finish. So Rabbi Lezer believes that the haircut, the giluach, is what's ma'akev, and the Chacham said that damim are ma'akev, that the blood of the any one karban that's brought is sufficient to end the nizirut. So that difference matters to them here, because if you say, and that's the way Tosfos and the Rosh learn here, and the Gemara says this, that our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer believes you need giluach to end the nizirut. So therefore, if you become tameh before the giluach, your nizirut is not over. So therefore, it undermines your nizirut, whether it's tumah tahom or tumah yidua. If you've already done the giluach, then your nizirut is over, and it depends on whether you find out about tumah yidua or tumah tahom. So that'll make a difference. But, of course, if there was no karbanot, there's nothing to talk about because nizirut didn't end. So that's the way Tosfos and Rosh learned. The Mefarish, and this is going to have to do the way he learned the Gemara later on, the Mefarish says that this is even before he brought his karbanot. Even before he brought his karbanot. Why? Because then the Chachamim can also be a part, or even the Chachamim can agree to this position over here. And we'll see later on, that's the Mefarish's unique aspect in this Gemara, that he thinks that our Mishnah or our Gemara can follow even the Chachamim. So we'll get to that later on, just as a way of a background. Now,
we say, even by 2 months ago over here, the Tumah is still a little bit tough subject, right? And he just has to make the assumption.
Yeah, okay, there's a possibility he became Tameh. The question you're asking is, okay, it's Tumah Yidua. The point is, and this is what the Gemara is going to address in a minute, is that he found out about the Tumah after he already did his Giluach. So the Tumah happened prior to his Giluach, but he's finding out about it after the Giluach. So maybe, finding out about it after you're done with your Nazirut makes it that it doesn't matter anymore. Even though you really have it during Unizirut, but the fact that you only find out about it afterwards might be enough to say that it doesn't affect Unizirut. That's one possibility. The other possibility is what you're saying, and that's what the Gemara is going to also address a little bit, is maybe there's a safek here in the Tuma. And since it's safek Tuma versus a Yachid, then we say safek Tuma versus a Yachid is Tamed. And that's the other possibility of what the Gemara is going to address both those issues. And, see what's going on. Alright, Minahad Emulate, where do we know this from? So Amar, and I'll point out there's a parallel sugya here in the Gemara and Safin. The Gemara and Safin reads differently than our Gemara. I'll point out little differences here between our Gemara, and not so little, bigger differences between our Gemara and the Gemara and Safin, but just know that there's a parallel in Safin. Why? Because too much to home also affects at Karban Pesach. Someone who's coming to bring a Karban Pesach finds out that they crossed over too much to home. Are they precluded then from bringing the Korban Pesach or not? Or, more importantly, not before they brought the Pesach, after they brought their Korban Pesach, they find out about Tumat Tahom, which is a similar type of case here. The Nazir, after he does his Yivuah, finds out that he crossed over Tumat Tahom, right? The same thing over here. The Korban Pesach bringing a Korban Pesach, brought his Korban Pesach, now finds out that he crossed over Tumat Tahom. Is his Korban Pesach okay, and he does not need to bring a Pesach Sheni, or is it no good, and he needs to bring a Pesach Sheni? Same thing in the Nazir. Is his Yivuah good, and his Nazirut is over? Does he have to go back and redo the Nazirut, because he was okay the Nazirut with Tumat? Now the first one. Where do we know this din of, right, too much at home from? Amar Blaz, Amar Kora, V'chi Yamut Meit Alav B'feta Pit'om. So that is a pasuk in the Parsha of Nazir, that a mate dies on him suddenly. So what does it mean, Alav? Alav B'mechuveret Lo, where it's clear to him that there is Tuma. Meaning, what does Mechuveret Lo mean? Does that mean that it's, there are two ways to think about what Mechuver can mean. Mechuver lo can mean either it's, he knows about it, he personally knows about it, meaning that he was, or he has the ability, or someone has the ability to know about it. V'chshlakish Amar, Amar Kora, the pasuk says, ki yet kamei lenefesh obederech rechoka, which is a parsha by Pesach Sheni, right? That's a parsha by Lotcha in Pesach Sheni, ki yet kamei lenefesh obederech rechoka. That's a person who brings Pesach Sheni. Ki derech, ma derech begalui, af kol begalui. Just like a derech is open and obvious, also any tumah that is open and obvious will cause a problem for you. Now, our Gemara brings them down as opposing views. That both mean that Nazir and Pesach are considered synonymous in our Gemara. And then Rav Elazar brings a pasuk from Nazir to prove that Tumas Tahom is not Oker. And Reish Lakish brings a pasuk from Pesach Sheni to say that Tumas Tahom does not affect you. But that they're arguing about the source. It's just that they, one brings the source from Pesach, one brings the source from Nazir. The Gemara in Pesachim reads differently. The Gemara in Pesachim brings the pasuk of Rav Elazar and says, that's Makor from Nazir. The Gemara says, okay, now we know Nazir, where do we know Pesach from? And then Reish Lakish brings the pasuk down. Meaning that the Gemara in Pesachim sees the two Pesachim as being one for Nazir, one for Pesach, and not arguing. Our Gemara over here sees the two, these two memras, or these two arguments as being, right, competing views for what is the source for Nazir and Pesach. Alright, because they view them as one unit, Nazir and Pesach, and what's here before. Now, Gemara says, now, Ve'ela Haditznan, right, what about this Mishnah? We have a Mishnah. Ezehu Tumat Tehom. What is Tumat Tehom? That nobody knows about it. I mean, that fact that if nobody knows about this mace, that is called Tumat Tehom. If anybody in the world knows about it, Enzo Tumat Tehom. Then it's not considered Tumat Tehom. So now, our Gemara reads, I'm going to see this, Bishlam Alamandarmer Ki Derech Shapir. The one who says Ki Derech, like a way, it works well. Why? Because it has to be Derech. Just like the Derech is Galui, is open, meaning that at least one person knows about it, then it works well. Alamandarmer Mechuveret Lo, when it's obvious to him, Ki Miyakirech Chabesof Alam, Mahavi. Somebody else knows about it, why does that matter to you? So that's one question. The Gemara in Pesachim means exact opposite. The Gemara in Pesachim means like this. Bishlam Alamand Amar, that he says that it's Mechuveret Lo. Right? But the one who says Derech, right? Why does it matter? Because Derech sounds like, right there in the Gemara in Pesachim, Derech sounds like Galui, open, in the open where a lot of people will know about it, not one person at the end of the Olam where it's Mechuveret Lo, sounds like an individual can know about it. Right? So Gemara Pesachim reads just the opposite of our Gemara about whose or which pasuk makes more sense with regards to this. Right now, our Gemara asks an additional question which is not found in the Gemara Pesachim that has a difference with the conclusion of the Gemara. Baha, two, another question. Ha Tanya, what are you going to do with this Braisa? Amotzei mit mishkav l'rachbo shel derech. If a mace is found stretched, laid out across a way or a pathway, if a person crossed over this pathway, if it's for truma, he's considered tamei. But nazir v'asiyat pesach tohar. For nazir and osa pesach, he is tohar. Now, why is there a differentiation between truma and nazir and asiyat pesach? The guy is tohar, or he's tamei. How can you have him be half tamei and half tohar? Right? Even if you have the psukim that I have the limud for over here, why there's no logic to differentiate in tuma between truma and osa pesach and nazir. So now the Gemara says, Maishna. What's the difference between them? Ella, now the Gemara's conclusion is, Tumas Tahom Gemara Gemirila. Tumas Tahom is Halacha Lemoshe Misinai. Right now, what does that mean that Tumas Tahom is Halacha Lemoshe Misinai? So the Gemara Pesachim actually does not have the Tanya case over there. Right away. I think the Gemara there says that Gemara Gemirila is a conclusion that Tumas Tahom, period. The concept of Tumas Tahom, that it has to do with one person at the end of the world knowing about it or not knowing about it, whether that's considered Tumas Tahom or not, that is Halacha Lemoshe Messina. That's what the Halacha Lemoshe is the case is about.
One person, someone who knows about it,
right. Right, exactly. So that is, as opposed to Psukim. Right, those are Halacha Lemoshe Messina, the Rishonim say that on the Mishnah, but our Mishnah introduced this Braisa, which also said that the difference between Truma and Pesach and Nazir, right, are also in there, and then the Gemara answers that question, says Gemara Gemira, but that is Halacha Lemoshe Messina. That is, again, the possibility here that the Halacha Lemoshe Messina also, in our Gemara, reads that it differentiates between Truma and Nazir versus Pesach, is also in the Halacha Lemoshe Messina, according to our Gemara. Right, the Gemara Pesachim does not have it in there. Not to say that the Gemara Pesachim doesn't believe that, but I'm saying the flow in the Gemara there, right, does not necessarily lead you to that conclusion. Whereas the flow of the Gemara here believes you believe that the Halacha Lemoshe Messina is number one, that there is Truma at home, possibly. And number two is that there's a differentiation between Truma and Pesach and Nazir. So those are the two Halacha Lemoshe Messina, and the Pesukim are just Asmach LeBe'amo, the Pesukim are not the source for Truma at home. That's important. So now, once we have Truma at home being Halacha Lemoshe Messina, then every limud you have is going to be Halacha Lemoshe Messina. So our Mishnah that says that it's too much to home after Geluach, before Geluach, Yediyah, all that is going to have to be within the framework of this Halacha Lemoshe Messina. And that's what we're going to have to discuss now. What is that? What exactly is that framework? Right now, the Gemara says, Mantana, who's the author of our Mishnah? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lezer, the Amar Tiglachas Me'akevet. It's obvious that Rabbi Lezer is the author of our Mishnah because the Mishnah differentiates between whether you found out before you cut your hair or after you cut your hair. Cutting your hair is only relevant to whom? To Rabbi Lezer, who believes that Tiglachat is Me'akevet. That cutting your hair is Me'akev, you ending your Nizirut. Whereas, according to the Chachamim, once you brought the Karbanot, there is nothing to talk about anymore because you've ended your Nizirut. So even if it's before Tiglachat or after Tiglachat, the only thing that matters is that you brought your Karbanot, so we're done already. There's nothing to talk about. Right, so that's it.
The Tiglachat is, I think Tiglachat was before the Karbanot.
Right, but even if you do it out of order.
I mean, you don't do everything right, you do Tiglachat.
Right, I mean, it really needs to be before the Shlomim because you need to cook under the Shlomim. Right, so these are all, the question is whether the whole process is Ma'akev or just the Tamim or Ma'akev. We had that Mishnah where they discussed this issue about what you do and what you do it out of order, what is Ma'akev or not. Alright. Boy, Rami Bar Kamal. So this question. Nitzma b'toch malot, v'nodah l'lachar malot, ma'u. So this was your question earlier. If he was tamei, became tamei during his nizirut, but he only finds out about it after he's finished his nizirut, what is the din? Now, what is Rami Bar Kama's question? This happens to be a machlokas here in the Rishonim between the Mefarish and the Tosfos. Mefarish says that this question, Rami Bar Kama, is asking, when you find out about something after malot, then what's the din? Meaning versus before malot or after malot?
You do giluach.
Right. So he did. Let's say he did giluach, and he finds out after malot, and he was tamei before malot. So the answer would be, isn't that our Mishnah? That's it. Why is Rami Bar Kama asking that? That's our Mishnah. So guess what? This is an unbelievable line in the Mefarish, which makes the pshat very difficult. You look at the second to last line. You know what, we'll just read a little bit more. Why don't we just read the last mefarish? Last mefarish on the omelet here. Just read it together. Last mefarish. Komar. Mi amrinan, the hadig amrinan, tumatom, ina silteret, hechadi adiyah habilakam lo. That's only when you find out about the tumatom after you've completed your zirut. Hil hechad the nitma bimei melot. Even though you became tamei during your zirut. But dilma, given the nitma bimei melot, abga the noda lula akram melot. But it may be because you found out about it. Even though you found out about after Malot, but because you became Tameh during your Nizirut, then Afiyul Akravat Kabrenzav, or Amina, the Tumatahom Huchrilo, the Soter, the Soter. So do you go Bater Yediyah when you find out about it, or does it go when you actually, whatever you actually became Tameh? Oh, that is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you found out about Tameh, it has to do when you found out about it, before the Gilach Hanaglo. Listen to this next line in the Mefarsh. Rabbi Barchama Kibay Lehachi. Remember how I was asking this, right? Lo Shmiel Emasnisin. He didn't hear about our mission. Alright, Matulachi, come my boy, lay hachi. So it's arena, so it's a club. So therefore, he's asking this question. So what's difficult about the Mefarish in general is that there's an underlying assumption in the Rishonim and generally in the Gemara that Amorayim were knowledgeable of the Mishnayot. That they may not be, that assumption is not true with Tosefta or Breitos. And so like that, there you can ask a question on them, or you can say Shalom Abraisim. But an Amora with the Mishnah, in general, the underlying assumption is that an Amora knows the Mishnah. So for Rabbi Bar Chama to introduce a question, which is basically exactly the Mishnah, what the Mishnah is addressing, seems to be very far-fetched. So just as a note, the Mefarsh brings this whole shot down, and late on the second Amud day, he has a Lishna Achrina. He has a second Lashon. That second Lashon follows similarly to what I'll explain now is Tosfos and the Rush's approach to this. Although even in their Lishna Achrina, they disagree about what the Gemara's conclusion is. But they do actually ask the same question. And the question here is premised on what we just said over here about Mantana. Who's the Tana? Rabbi Eliezer? Now, if the Tana is Rabbi Eliezer, then according to Rabbi Eliezer, now they're asking, the Gemara's asking the question. What is this? If the Bayi Rami Brachama, so if you look at the last Tosfos in the Amud here, the last Tosfos, it says Bayi Rami Brachama Nitma Toch Malot, Bituma Yidua O Bituma Tahom. Doesn't matter which one we're talking about. Nodalal Akar Malot, and we find out after Malot, Kodem Giluach, before Giluach. So not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talks about where you find about it after Giluach. Now, Rami Bar Chama wants to know what happens if he finds out it before Giluach. Why does that matter? Well, Rabbi Elazar Mahu. This is according to Rabbi Elazar, who believes what? We've seen that Rabbi Elazar has a special din, which is that kol shetumata b'yom malot. If you come to Tamei on your yom malot, you only have to wait 7 days. You don't occur the whole nisirut, you only wait 7 days. So now they want to know, if you found out about your tuma before you cut your hair, about tuma that you happened during your nisirut. Now, do we go Bater Yediyah? When he found out about it as his Yom Malot, then he'll only have to wait 7 days. Or do we say that the Tumah happened during your Nizirut? If the Tumah happened during your Nizirut, according to Rebbe, he agrees that you would O'Care 30 days. I mean, you don't care the whole, according to Rebbe, it's 30 days. You don't care the Nizirut 30 days. So is it, when you find out about it before you do Luach, do we go Bater Yediyah, and therefore it's Yom Malot, so you don't have to wait 7 days, or we go Bater Mikra, when it happened, right back to the Korah, and therefore it was the middle of your Nizirut, and you'll be O'Care 30 days. And that's what Tosa says here. The Rebbe's are mouth. Bater Tumah Aslina and Besoter Shloshim, or Bater Yediyah Aslina Besoter Shiva. So Rabbi Abraham's question is building on what Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan established, that our Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar. Our Mishnah only addresses a case where he finds out about it after Gilua. Now Rabbi Bakama comes to introduce a new question. What happens if he finds out about it before Gilua? So we're not dealing with Tumas Tahom anymore, the difference between Tumas Tahom and Tumas Yidua, because it doesn't matter. That difference only matters after Gilua. Before Gilua, it's the same thing. He wants a simple question. Is it Bata Yidia or Bata Dikara? Which one do we determine? And based on what we'll determine, we'll make or have us understand whether it's undermining 7 days or 30 days according to Rabbi Elazar. That's the question according to the Tosfos. Now, the Gemara's...
Well, I mean, it's big. So we just impose another, same days, but he really completed his whole Zira and Abitara. But if he finds out that he didn't complete his Nazir Batara, so you think, it doesn't seem...
At first glance,
that should even really be a question.
That because it's retroactive to the Tumah, but the fact is that our Mishnah introduced such a concept. You have such a concept here in our Mishnah that after you go up, you find out about Tumah, even though the Tumah took place
only
beforehand.
I understand it's a difference when it's Tumah's not home.
Right.
And now we're saying Tumas Tahum is not relevant to the question.
Right. But that might be because Tumas Tahum has a halacha of Moshe Sinai that it makes it, that it's different, that it's not okay or not. But even according to the part that it's not, that's what the Gemara is going to do. The Gemara is basically going to take our mission and say, show you that Yediyah matters and not. Right? And that's why Rabbi Kofan's questions come. Now, the Gemara is going to do something very strange here. And my guard is going to go back and basically work through Rabbi Yochanan's question, Rabba's stuff. Mark's going to say that there's a statement of Rabba built towards Rabbi Bar Kama's question, to build up why Rabbi Bar Kama had a question. So Mark's actually taking a step back, and then he's going to build the question up again. So this is a strange Mark. Mark's not continuation, like, Rabbi Bar Kama asked a question, here's the answer. Right? Mark's now going back and saying, okay, how do we get to this question? So that's next, on the beginning of the next time. Omer Rabba. Tashma. Right, everybody, this is sheet according to Rabba, that before he does Giluach, Benkach Soter, that no matter what, he is Soter. Hefi Dami. What is the case? That Achelo Giluach, Benkach Soter. Idi Iti Adelaide the Toch Malot, if he found out about it, right, during his Nazirut, what's there to talk about? Because obviously, if you find out that you became Tameh during your Nazirut's over. So, Tzikla the Meimar, you must say, right, I mean, Tzikla Meimar, you need to say that, El Lav Akar Malot, must be, what, that he found out about it after, right, he completed his Nazirut. So, Shema Mina, right, so that is, Shema Mina, that Yudia, right, that happens afterwards doesn't matter. And Vadayin Tibayla. Now we still have a question. Who looks out there? Or Shiv'at out there? Does it undermine the entire Nazirut? Or is it only undermine 7 days? Lamah. According to whom? Ilayim of the Rabbanon, Pshita, the Kulo Soter. By the Rabbanon, it's clear, it doesn't matter when you become Tamei according to the Rabbanon, whether it's on Yom Malot or beforehand, you undermine the Nazirut. You're not done with the Nazirut until you bring your Kabanot and you sprinkle the Dam. Ilayim of Elazar, Kol Akram Malot, right? Shiva Soter. So according to Rabbi Elazar, anything that's after Malot is 7. So what's there to talk about here? So I'm a call. Hani Mili, Ki Nitmar Akram Malot, Vahai, Lithnei Malotu. No, that's only when he became Tamei after Malot, meaning that he became Tamei and he found out about his Tumah Akar Malot. But in our case here, he became Tamei beforehand. Odilma Shani Hafa, the Yedia Akar Maloti. Then the Yedia happened afterwards. Umino Tani. And that's on this. So that's Rami Bar Kama's question. We just built up to Rami Bar Kama's question. Right? The Gemara built through Rava to Rami Bar Kama's question, which is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what is it? Soter Hakol, or Soter Shloshim, or Soter Shiva. What's the question? The question is, because you have a Yediyah on Yom Malot, but the Tumah happened prior to Yom Malot. So that's the question of Rabbi Elazar. So now the Gemara answers, right, what's the Gemara's answer? From our Mishnah. Ben Kaf Tani, Ben Kaf, Ben Kaf, Soter, Velokim Mifligay. Our Mishnah says that no matter what, you are Soter. If it's before Giluach, doesn't matter Tumas Tahom or Tumas Yiduah, it's Soter, Velokim Mifligay, and the Gemara does not differentiate, the Mishnah does not differentiate. Okay, what's the answer of the Gemara? How does the Gemara just say from the Mishnah? The Mishnah doesn't differentiate, therefore by Rami Bar Kama we have an answer. What did the Mishnah do that answered Rami Bar Kama's question? So if you look in the Beforish, across from the Tosos Tzafa, you see the word Tosos Tzafa? If you walk straight across from the Beforish there, it says V'kamashma. See that? V'kamashma? V'kamashma 1, according to the Tosos. Yeah, V'kamashma must listen. Our Mishnah comes to teach us. Loshna, the Heikha the Nitma the Tmei Milot, the Heikha the Nitma Akar Milot, the Soter Kulam. Our Mishnah says, doesn't matter if you find out about it beforehand or afterhand, it says, no matter what, you're Soter the whole thing. Well, let me think about Rabbi Elazar Rabbanan, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbanan don't argue about this. Shema Mino, and this you can see, Rabbi Nami, came to Tumah HaVibay Mimelot, the Soter at the Kol. So this is Shaul's point. Why should it matter? If you became Tamei during the time period, retroactively, that undermines the Nizimut, and that's what our Mishnah. Our Mishnah does not differentiate. Our Mishnah says that it's before Giluach, Benkach or Benkach Soter. Doesn't matter, it is Soter. So what does it mean Benkach or Benkach? No matter when the Tumah happened, or when you find out about the Tumah, that is Soter. That's the conclusion according to the Mefarish. That is not true according to Tosfos. Here, Hani Mili. Yeah. If you look in the Tosfos Hani Mili, if you go about midway through that Tosfos, it says, V'hainu Bayah. it's midway through the, it's the middle of the line, and midway through that Tosfos says Behainu Baya Rami Bar Chama. You see that?
Yeah.
It says Behainu Baya Rami Bar Chama. This is the question of Rami Bar Chama. The Gemara has gotten into the question of Rami Bar Chama. Upashit Lemi Minei Mastis and Gufa Tukmina and Rabbi Lezer, and they answer it up from our Mishnah, which we established was Rabbi Lezer. But kind Imachi Lo Gileach No Dola Ben Kach O Ben Kach Soter. The Lo the Machli Ben Nitma Kodim Lotz and Nitmachem Lotz. Right, it doesn't differentiate between whether he was came to me beforehand or afterhand. It's clear to us that if he came to me after the malot, then it's enosoter. So too, when he becomes to me before malot, enosoter yivkim zayin. He only undermine 7 days. So Tosfos' conclusion is the exact opposite. Rashi's, the Mefari says that the conclusion of the Gemara is when it says Ben Kach Ben Kach Soter Rifnei Yuach. That's what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah doesn't differentiate about when you found out about the Tumah or when the Tumah happened. It says no matter what, if it's before Yuach, it's Soter. So that would be the conclusion of Rami Bar Kama's question. Rabbi Lezer believes that it's always Soter. It's before Yuach, you're done. Because it says no. The Gemara, the Mishnah never differentiates between. If you were Nitma Akram Lot, everybody knows what the answer is. So it must be that our Mishnah is talking about a case where you were Nitma, right, Lifnei Melot. And over there, it's only, what does it mean, it's Soter? Soter to Rabbi Lezer means Soter Zayin. Not Soter Shloshim, but Soter 7. And therefore, the conclusion is that according to Rabbi Lezer, you only undermine 7 days and not 30 days. So here you have the Mishnah, the Tosfos and the Mefarish read the conclusion of the Mishnah, or the conclusion from the Mishnah, differently. In that they view it as being the Mishnah's teaching of this Stam Mishnah that didn't address the issue, right, is giving you a different answer according to the Mefarsh, it's telling you that it's Soter HaKol even according to Rabbi Lezer, and according to the Tosfos, it's saying it's only Soter Zayin, which are the two tzadim of Rami Bar Kama. So that's the conclusion. Alright. Tan Rabbanan. A Motzi Mate is a very interesting case here. A Motzi Mate, Mutol Rachma Shel Derech. So this is earlier what we quoted. You have a mate that stretch across the whole pathway. So Derech, the Truma Tamei, and Nazir Osef Pesach Tahor. For a Truma he's Tamei, but for Nazir Osef Pesach he's Tahor. But Mate Varim Amurim, what's the case here? This is what Shaul was asking before. Is this, are we talking about Truma's Vada or Truma's Suffolk? Right? Vamek, Shein Lomachon La'avor. It's a case where he has no other way to go. Right? That he has no other way to go. But if there's a possibility that he could have walked on this path and not walked over the mace, then we say even for Truma he's Tahor. Why? Because he now have a Suffolk Tuma Birshusa Rabim. Suffolk Tuma Birshusa Rabim is Tahor. So Bamed, Varimamun Shematzo Shalim. That's only they find the body or the corpse complete. Because why? Then he was Vadai Ma'ahil on the mace, because it stretched out across the bend. But Meshubar Mufura, if the body is broken down or broken down to parts or broken up, Bilain Makom Labor, even if there's no other place to go, Chayshina, listen to this case, that he was able to, Shema Ben Aparkim Avar, that he walked between the pieces, and he tiptoed through the tulips or danced through the raindrops, he was able to somehow get through this path. Because we're talking about, what? Right, so the term Chayshinan is not, right, Chayshinan here is the wrong term. It's not Chayshinan in the negative sense, but Chayshinan in the positive sense that we suspect that he might have done that, therefore he will be Tahor.
Oh, he had to bring Karbanos, so it's Chayshinan. Why are we making bring Karbanos?
We're not, this is the exact, this is the case here, we say he's going to be Tahor.
In Achilami, so we don't want him to go bring the Karbanos for Tiglachas HaTumah.
Oh, you mean, fine. All right, but it, first of all, for Nazir, there is no Karbano. Here is Truma to home, and he's Tahor. So the only question really here is Truma. The Bamed Mamurim here is for Truma, not for Nazir, right? Because Nazir already said, Nazir basically said is Tahor. That is, Moshein Lomakon Avor, Yesh Lomakon Avor, after Truma Tahor. The Mamed Mamurim is much as Shalim, Abba Moshubar Mufurak, Abba Lomakon Avor, Hashina, Shemvein Aparkim Avor. Right, Uba Kever. Now, if there's a Kever there, Abba Lomashubar Mufurak, even if it is Mishubar Mufurak, Kamek. Now what does that mean, Tamei? Tamei would only be, this is to answer your question, there was a Girsa in old Gemaras that said here, Tamei, not only for Truma, but for, even for Pesach and Nazir, which the Mefarish knocks off and says that's not true, because Nazir was Pesach to Olam Tahor, Tacha Gemiri Lava Tumas Tahom. You know that Nazir, the Gemara is not even discussing Nazir and Pesach, because they're out of the picture, they're Tahor. And the question is, it's all these qualifications are for Truma. Truma, which is Tamei, these are qualifications or instances where it will be Tahor, or be Tamei. And he says, if it reaches Nazir and Pesach in your Gemara, it's a Ta'utu, that's a mistake. All right, so here it's coming. This is a thing we saw before, that the grave incorporates everything in it. Therefore, even if you're not ma'il on the mace itself, if you're ma'il on the grave, that makes you tameh. That's if you're walking on your feet. About ta'un, or rahuf, if you're being carried, or you are riding, meaning like you're on a wagon or some sort of donkey, tameh. And when you're walking, there's a possibility, again, that you could tiptoe through the tulips, you could dance through the raindrops. Right? When you're riding on a wagon or you're riding on a donkey, it's impossible not to be ma'il on those areas. Now, but meant, remember, the tumas tahom. All this has to do with tumas tahom. Well, tumas yidua, if we're talking about tumas yidua, then shlosh dam tameim, then all these did apply, right, for all three of them. Basically, tumas tahom. What's tumas tahom? So that we already have, this is the qualification we had before. What's tumas tahom? Koshe makira kad besofalam, makira kad besofalam into tumas tahom. That's the definition of tumas tahom. So again, if it's tumas tahom, does your pesach out of the picture tahor? That's the halacha of Moshe Messina, that they're out of the picture, that they are tahor, nothing to talk about. So now, if it's
tumas was anybody aware that there was a base in this particular path?
Oh, so the Gemara's going to ask you in a second. The Gemara's going to make, how do you know? So that's the Gemara's next line in the Gemara. Very good. So now the Gemara said by truma. By truma is tameh. Now, that, the Gemara qualified that. What does it mean by truma is tameh? First of all, it's only if what it's stretched across the whole path. If it's not stretched across the whole path, there was a possibility you could have walked through. Suffic tuma vishus rabin, tahor even by truma. That's also, even if you stretch across the whole path, that's only if the body is shalate. Because then for sure he's an ayalan. And if he was mifrak, then we say, okay, the possibility that he got through without becoming tameh, again, it's tameh vishus rabin. But that's as long as it's not a kever. It's a kever, it doesn't matter even if he's mifrak, because the kever's mitzvareth makes it as if he stretched across the whole path. Again, also, that's only if he's walking. If he's walking, there's a possibility of that stuff. If he's riding or he's on a wagon, he's definitely going mile over it. There's nothing.
It all depends how good it's spreading.
There, but that's the assumption. The assumption is that by the time you get that wide, you're done. Meaning that tiptoeing through the tulips is literally tiptoeing through the tulips. You can steps can go through that when you're already wide.
Why would riding on a horse make you a wider person?
No, the horse itself. You're a mile over that whole area, right?
The horse is a mile.
Right. You mean the horse is mile and it protects you. Right? Yeah, your legs, you're just spread out much more. I think you're just...
Your legs are, yeah.
Yeah, you're spread out. You're not walking through. I think that your body encompasses larger.
Very skinny. Skinny.
Right. All right, now...
The tumor goes up, and then they know. If you stand out low, the tumor goes up.
Right, so that's a question. The Gemarian... I don't have a good answer for you now that you asked the question, but there's the Gemara in Parah, the Mishnah in Parah says that they used to take out the Tanim they used to take out the Tanim before they were Tamei, they used to put them in a house, right. They used to bring them up in a house with Tahor, and then how did they get them to burn the ashes? They brought them along to bring the Mayim to that. How did they take them? They took them on top of the house. It's a hole that's moving. So somebody asked me that question at the time when we did all Zaruk. Somebody asked me the question, so it's very good, that exact question. By the Gemara in Parah, it says that, how are the kids protected? Why are they protected? Because the cavity of the cow's body, or the underneath of the cow's body, makes an ohel, that protects them from the tumah. So somebody asked me your question. It's an ol zaruk. If it's an ol zaruk, it's not an ol. That we had the Tosos. Who weren't they? Right? Right. Tosos weren't over there, which is probably what drove Tosos to learn like that. Tosos differentiated in ol zaruk, whether there was, if it touched the ground or not touching the ground. Zaruk meant that it was disengaged or totally separated from the ground. It moved. But if you had your feet or the animal's feet on the ground, that was not considered an ol zaruk. So that answers the question over there, that it's not considered ol zaruk. Thing is here that the Gemara seems to say when you're riding on something, right, that animal doesn't protect you. So you have to say there's a difference between a horse and a cow, or whether there's a cavity, or how big, what's the area of the ohel. I don't know how you
differentiate.
The
tumor goes up.
It's tumor goes up, right. Right. But that's as long as there's no ohel over it. As soon as you have an ohel that is over tuma, the ohel suspends the whatever. Ohel does two things. It brings tuma, but also stops tuma from moving further up.
So as it gets goes up.
What?
As it gets goes up.
When there's no ohel over it. When there's nothing
over it.
Right.
Oh, that's open.
Right. That's either, that was the other possibility. Two possibilities. Either it's a tumat bokatvo
la'az. So why don't we say the animal's like the opening and the tumat goes up?
I don't know. The Gemara there hasn't a cavity, it's a mouth. I mean, the Gemara assumes that that's an ohel to protect the people. So I don't know why over there it's a good enough protection. And over here, it's not. I mean, when you ruffle over, it's not considered a protection. Consider that you're a bigger ohel. You can see it's different types of animals, different types of situation. I'm not sure what it is. Right. I assume that you're right, that a cow is maybe different than a horse. But again, I'm pointing it out, that difference was that also that marble Zoro, which you mentioned, which is also differential. That's why I think Tosfos Shita was better over there because of that Mishnah in Paro. Alright, now the Gemara wants to know Saul's question. How do you know it's Tumas Tov? How do you know nobody knows about it? That Gemara says, depends how you find the body. Right? Hayat Tamun B'Tamin Obit Zorot. If he's buried under straw or under pebbles, Harei Zum Tumat Tohom. Then that is Tumat Tohom. Why? Because the likelihood is that this body got here and nobody knew about it, that nobody had seen it. But if he's B'Yamim Uba Afela, alright, now this word Yamim, there are some that are not going to the term Yamim over here, but I don't know. What, if you do, are glorious, that I'm not exactly sure what you mean, if they find it floating in the water. You find it in a dark place, or in the cracks in the stone, or in the, you know, the bedrock. You find the mace there, then we say that it's not in Zutumas Tohom. Why? Because there's a likelihood that somebody saw it. I mean, the body is exposed. I mean, the fact that you can't see it has to do because it's in a crack, or because it's, you know, in a dark area. So two things. One is that the likelihood is that somebody may put the body there, or number two, and I think it's more likely, is that someone saw, the possibility of seeing it is there because the body's open to the air. It's just that there's something that makes it difficult to get there. So the likelihood is that somebody did see it. And this is the last part of the Lachal Moshim Sinai. Tumas Tohom only has application by Tumas Mace. Does not have application by Zav and Zava, which the Gemara Pesachim spends a lot of time on. Right? What is Tumas Tohom for Zav and Zava? I mean, that might be, right? It can't be obviously what we're talking about here. You have a mace that's buried, nobody knows about it. But it could be the equivalent where it's Tumah that no one knows about. I mean, that there's a possibility that you have Tumah that is unknown to other people, unknown to the person themselves, and that would be considered Tumas Tohom for Zav Zava.
When it says, is this still the Brisa, by the way?
Yeah, I think so.
When the Brisa says that there's no Tumas Tohom by Tumas Zav, does that mean that the kulos don't apply, or that there's no tumah?
No, the kulos don't apply. You would be tumah. The kulos of tum don't apply to zav and zav. That's correct. All right. So let's go. Kate said yarad. So our case over here in our Mishnah. All right. So our Mishnah says tzafa inu matameh. Right. That if it's floating, if the body's floating, it's not matameh. The inyan sheretz. Right. Sheretz. Floating sheretz. It's not, if you have a suffix about a floating sheretz, and even if that suffix is Rishus HaYakid, does not make you tameh. Titania, we have a bracelet. Suffix tumah, tzafa ben akilum ben akbakarka. You have tumah that's floating. Now, when it's floating, you have two possibilities. You can have a bathtub, and it's floating in your bathtub. Or you can have a spring or a cave where the water's in the ground, right? It's ground bedrock or groundwater, and it's encapsulated there. So now, this Hanukkah believes that when you have something too much tough, a bend to kalin, bend to karka, whether it's in the bathtub or more probably if it's in a bucket of water or if it's in the karka, tahora, you are tahora. This head there, that floating sheretz, is not the tameh, applies to both aspects. So, Shimon Omer, be kalin, tmeya, be karka, tahora. But only if it's in the ground, if it's water in the ground, then it's tahora. But if it's the karka, I mean, when it's in the kalin, then it is tameh. My time of the Tanakama. What's the limud of the Tanakama? Our Rabbi Yitzchak Bar of Yudimi, it says, B'chol ha-sheretz ha-sheretz. Right? A place where the sheretz walks. Komakom shu sheretz. The shratzim, where do they creepy crawly? Where do they crawl? Where do they move? They move on the ground. They don't move in water. That's not where they live. That's not where they crawl. Uchtiv al-aretz. But then it says, on the land. Right, so anywhere, I think I read that wrong. Sheretz to sheretz means anywhere. Anywhere they can be, that is, you'll be tamei. And then it says, ala aretz. Right, it's called sheretz to sheretz, ala aretz. Right, that is, well, it sounds like only when they're walking on the land are they tamei. Okay, so how do you do that? Vade maga o tamei. So if you definitely touch it, then you are tamei. Suffik maga o, if you don't definitely touch it, then you are tahor, because that's when it's floating in the water. So that's how we differentiate when it's floating in the water. Rabbi Shimon, my Tama, what's the reason of Rabbi Shimon? Omar Ulok Tiv, it says Achmayan, right, by the Parsha of Sheretz in the end of Parsha Shmini, when it talks about the Sheretz, it says Achmayan Ubor Mikveh Mayim, right, that when you go to a mikvah or more water, then you will be Tahor. There, the Pasuk seems to be talking about when you go to the mikvah, right, the Pasuk is that if the Sheretz is in a water, then, I mean, if you're found in water at the time, you'd be tahor. But the coming direction from that if you go to a bor and make the mayim, then afterwards you will be tahor. Now, k'tib yitma, right? But it says, but you'll become tamei. Haketzat. What's the gate? Sapa bekelim tamei. Bekarka tahor. How do you differentiate between yad umik v'mayim versus what the other part of the pasuk sounds to say, like you are if you touch a yitma? That's the difference between kelim and karka. If you're in the ground, then you are tahor. And if the shark is found in water floating in the ground, you are tahor. If it's found, right, floating in a kli, then you are tamei. So now, the differential between them is, alright, actually, let's see if we adjust this. If this is tomorrow's stuff. Alright, but we'll stop. Alright, so the difference between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon here is this floating sheretz. When does floating sheretz matter? Floating sheretz matters, right, for when you're in a shushi yachid. If you're in a shushi yachid, then generally, suffix is the chumra or something is tummy.
It's something you touch, right?
Right, something you may have come into contact with. This sheretz doesn't have a din of ohel.
So it's not even something. It's coming with the
Torah. Very good. So I wasn't going to address it, but now, so, all right, sure. Yes, you brought it up, so we're going to say this. So the right text on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, what's the case in our Mishnah? Kate said that you have a mace should suffer al pianaro. You have a mace that's floating in the mouth of the cave. So what do you mean? So if it's floating, we just said now that floating tumah, at least tumah sheretz, is tahor. So why not say the same thing by tumah tameis? Why don't we say it's tahor?
So the truth of the it's floating, it's about it, it's no suffering.
Okay, so that's the Rosh answers basically what you are saying. The Rosh on the Mishnah says what happens if you have ketzah din tumah tahom, you're about to tvol b'mara, the tumah sheretz, v'nimtzah k'zayit min ha-meis, right, sap al pnei ha-mayim, you find this floating mace. Suffolk Hayelab, Suffolk Lo Hayelab, right? It's a Suffolk, whether he was Mahayelan it or not. We're not clear if he has. Tameh, the Suffolk Tumber Shusi Yachid, Sveiko Tameh. Ve'im Nodolo, Suffolk Zachar, Shiki Leach. If you found out about that, Soter, Taino Tuma Yidua. Ve'af Agav Damrina Bigimara, even though we say in the Gemara, Suffolk Tuma Shetzapa is Tehora. Right? He says, Taino Suffolk Maga. Ava Suffolk Ohel Tameh. That only time we say, because what if the din is going to have a sheretz? By sheretz, the only din is a din in mago. So then when you have suffix too much mago, that's tough off ne'amayim, that's where we have it, to go to kuva, to be tahor, and not the tuma. Whereas over here, when you're dealing with the mace, so fine, if it was a suffix mago issue with the mace, then you'd be right. Now we're dealing with suffix ohel, that's a different issue when you
say
so
though. Well,
they're the same din with regards to mago. They have the same din. They have a different din when it comes to ohel. That's exactly what the Rosh differentiates.
So you say that, what's the case that, so it tells you if they really do something, oh, what's the case from a factual point of view?
It was floating at the entrance to the cave. Alright, he came over it. He may have walked over it. He may have crossed over it when he came in. If it was mahi along there, because it's something mahi along there, the Rosh is not subject to the dinim of suffix too much mago that's floating.
The point of the admission was that it's that this is to be doer, not to pass the home. And since it's floating, so it's...
But why should he be tummy at all? I mean, it's Suffolk Tuma, Vishus Arab. If it was a Suffolk Tuma, Vishus Arab, he'd be Tahor. And he wouldn't be so good. The fact that it's Suffolk Tuma, Vishus Arab, makes him tummy. Why doesn't it follow the principle over here that if it's Suffa, you get the Kula?
I don't understand that because Sherex has been that way floating and there's a subject of Marios, why would you have any happen to that means that by Mace, there's a problem whether you're Mario?
Not Mayo, it's by Mago. That's exactly the Rush. In the end, saying there's no question because Mayo and Mago are different. That's exactly what
it is.
But
it's saying the difference
between Sheretz and Mace. No, Sheretz, what is the difference? The difference between Sheretz and Mace is in Ohel. So within the context of what that's the Rush. The answer's answer is there's no question because we're in a different category.
If it was something Mago, then it would be.
Yeah,
Sheretz.
In Sumas Mace, if something Mago would have been like Sheretz.
Between Sheretz and Mace.
Exactly. Especially what you're saying, that Ohel and Mago don't come together. It's just that when it is Mago, Tumas Mace will have the same thing as Sheretz when it's Mago. When it's Ohel, we're not in the same category, you're outside the category.